about to hear a life-changing message preached at Revival International Memphis by the Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. In John 3:17, the Bible says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." In this Sunday service, Reverend Lindsay preaches a powerful message, "God sent not his Son to condemn the world." Oftentimes, we may feel insecure because of our sin. However, there is hope in Christ Jesus that came to save us all. Come as you are to God's throne, but don't stay as you are. Allow our Savior Jesus to transform you. So let us listen into this anointed word and understand that the sin in you is not greater than the Son Jesus Christ in you. Be blessed.
Fruition as you equip us for the perfection of God's will. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We pray for your mercy and for your grace in Jesus' mighty name. And all the saints shall say amen. Please turn to somebody and give the person a smile and a hug. And tell the person, may the Lord forgive you your sins. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Tell the person, why is pastor saying forgive, may the Lord forgive your sins? Or do you know why? Why? And are you sitting by your soul? Huh? Brother Michael, are you sitting by your soul? The two of you. Get up. Go and sit. Yeah. God bless you. They're my sons. Well, let me bring my souls. Please, can you come and sit here? Clap for the Lord Jesus. Oh, come. I just want to introduce to you my souls. Tell someone obedience is key. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Now, I'm saying all this because, and thank you for coming, my friend, doctor. My friend's son is also my son. My father is a doctor. I'm also a doctor. Now, when your father, you ask something your father doesn't give, remember, I'm also here, okay? Clap for the Lord Jesus. Anyway, well, I am, it sounds funny, but it's serious. You know? Last week we chose the scripture. Bring the scripture, John 15:16. In fact, go to start from verse 40. You see how this scripture, you did not choose me, but I chose you and ordained you in New King James. Okay? King James. All right, always, until I've said it, please keep it at King James. That's the original version. All right? Now, but go to verse 14. You see, all that last week he said, what? You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you will go and bring forth what fruits, and your fruits shall remain. So it was operation set by your soul, isn't it? You're supposed to come. Some people, because you didn't bring your soul, you just said, oh, no, I'm not going to be there at all. And then you are here. You know, but I'm going to preach a message that will encourage you. Amen. But I just want you to know that the whole reason why Jesus Christ came to this earth was for souls. Period. Nothing but souls. Your soul, my soul. And when he left, he gave us the Holy Spirit. So we will become ministers of reconciliation. You will realize that when you get to heaven, what will matter is how fruitful you were in this command. In joining, Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. And the Father's business is souls. Did you know that I also brought somebody this morning? That's why I was late. I picked the person, brought up when the person got here. You want to know why the person didn't come? Pastor Richard, where are you? Or who was there? Who knows why the person didn't come? The person came and said, hey, I'm not supposed to be. Pastor, come and tell them why my other sheep didn't come. Come, hurry up. Huh? Yes.
Well, Reverend Sheep, he said that...
I drove him all the way here.
As soon as he got here, he said he can't enter this building.
I said, why?
And he said that because he's broken into this building.
Before. And so he's on probation.
Yeah.
Him and his girl. So I quickly... He said I should go and drop him back. Say, hey, I'm afraid of you. Let me give you money. You can take a car there.
Yeah.
Amen. But it's a blessing. A soul is a soul. Even if it's a thief, clap for the Lord Jesus. Even if it's a thief. Even if it's a thief. That's the degree of... Bible says that obedience is better than sacrifice. Your offering is not as good as your obedience. You dress nicely. And everything. God says obedience is better than your sacrifice. You get the point. That is what caused King Saul to lose his position to David. God told him, I didn't look for sacrifices. You brought King Ahab to sacrifice and the fattest of sheep to sacrifice to me. Who said I need sheep? He said, the cattle on the thousand hills, they belong to me. He said, obedience is better. What I want is obedience, not your sacrifice. Take your sacrifice from today. You are not king anymore. I found somebody, David, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. Anything I do, I say he will do. That's how David became David. That's how David was called a man after God's own heart. He was chosen for his obedience, for his willing obedience. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ rose from the dead to come and give us the Holy Spirit and to come and save us from our souls. We can rise up for one soul, one. Make a phone call for somebody. Talk to somebody. Bring somebody. Christianity is not about selfishness. It's about selflessness. Less of self. Not ish of self. Selfishness means ish. You are very ishy about yourself. Selflessness, you are less about yourself, more about others. That was Jesus. Yeah. You get the point. Live, the most fulfilled life is a life lived for somebody to be happy. You watch it. That's why it's more blessed to give than to receive. Anybody who has experienced giving, you will never stop giving to people, to put a smile, like the people who beg on the roadside. Maybe you give a dollar and a coin all the time, so you don't see the joy. But try this. Give them a $20 note. And watch them. You will never give anything like a dollar before again. Look, one person gave $20. The person chased the car. Doing praise and worship. I felt I was God. Praise and worship. Bowing. This. The Bible says in the book of 2 Samuel. Bible says because of their many thanksgiving, it rises up after you to give you favor. Are you understanding what I'm saying? By their much thanksgiving to God, that follows you. You know, you give something to somebody. I said, man, my prayers have been answered. God, that's this person who gave me this. You think that God doesn't listen to poor people or to people who are in need or to Cornelius was not born again. God sent Peter, go and preach to that guy. Cornelius was so happy. God's presence came. The Holy Spirit fell. God showed Peter, I am with you. Do you get the point? Cornelius was praying. Angels wanted to answer. God does not take away the contrite and the broken heart. Find that scripture, please. Second Samuel, Pastor Richard, help them. A broken and a contrite heart. Some people are praying for help. And they're waiting for the obedience of Christians. The obedience of Christians, which often doesn't come. Meanwhile, you got saved because somebody was obedient. You get the point. So I think that what we have demonstrated, Brother Spencer and Brother Michael, you must be ashamed of yourselves. Shame. Someone say H-A-P-P-Y, shame. Now, do you understand what I'm saying? Now, listen, we prayed, we fasted, we've done 24-hour prayer, all that. And then you just sit at home. No. You know something? God is a God of second chance, isn't it? So why don't we give ourselves a second chance? Put your hands together. That's why I said HAPP are shame. It means that in spite of the disappointing output, be happy because you have another chance. We are not dead. Every time you are alive, it means an opportunity for a second chance. Have you failed an exam before? I've never called myself a failure. I failed exams. It's a failed attempt. It's not a failed human being. It's a failed effort. And I'm sure many of you made the effort, but you didn't get the response. Say amen. If you are not that kind, don't say amen. But if you make the effort, no problem. A plus for effort. Clap for yourselves. Clap for yourselves. A plus for effort. A plus for effort. Okay? So now, God is giving you a whole week to make things happen. How many would take advantage of that? Yeah. You still didn't bring me the scripture that I was looking for. Pastor Richard, help them. Okay. Now, what I want you to know is the scripture, John chapter 15, verse 16. Go to verse 14. It says, God says that you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. How many are enemies of Christ? How many are friends of Christ? Well, this is what friends are for. Jesus says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. You know, let me tell you, the biggest reason why Christians don't see the hand of God and the power of God is disobedience. The biggest reason why Christians don't feel close to angels or supernatural life is disobedience. We live like the world. But we don't have to live like the world. So that you will also not be like the world. The world, God wants the world to become, and I'll show you today, God really loves the world. But Christians almost hate the world. I'll say it again. God loves the world. A place where you and I were. And out of God's love, somebody who experienced God's love drew you close and brought you into the kingdom. Now we are in the world. We are almost enemies, haters of the world. When God loves the world, we don't bring... So God says, you are my friends if you do whatever I've commanded. And what is this command? But next verse. Why? Verse 15, John 15. This for verse 4, verse 15. Henceforth, I call you not servants. Because a servant does not know what his Lord is doing. But I've called you friends. For all the things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Do you know that? Some people at workplace. How can you do this? I only work here. Have you heard that before? I just work here. I hate those statements. Never say that. Never say that anywhere in your workplace. It's a sign of a lack of dedication. And you can be fired. That when they are paying you, they don't say, you just work here. So no, I think that anything you find yourself doing, do it with your heart. That's what the Bible says. Colossians 3 and verse 23, whatsoever thou doest, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not as unto men, knowing this, that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, because you are serving the Lord Christ. So that's how I work. Yeah. That's how every doctor that comes that they need training, I'm not supposed to do it. I just train them. Look, come, I'll help you. They are always doing it. And therefore, when there's any, do you know what has happened? Because of that, any bonus, I get it. Any promotion, anything. And it's not because they think I'm doing it for them per se, but I'm doing it because I'm serving. My job is an extension of my Christianity. Yeah, Christianity is not a church thing. Actually, the church is just a lab. A lab. Be together. The church is like a school. You don't take the job from your classroom. You take a job after the course. When you leave out there, then you take what you've learned to apply for a job out there. That's how church is. Church, if you're really a member of the kingdom, then your impact should be felt on a regular basis. If you're a son, your father must be able to see, this my son is changed. I can assure you, my child is changed. I know that for sure by God's grace. I'm talking in reality. That boy was foolish and nasty. But today, I can leave my whole house, my whole account. I'll be okay. It's changed. You get the point? And that respect and the honor. When the Bible says, honor your father and your mother that it may be well with you, but may live long. I just look at my son and I said, this guy is going to live long. It's going to be well with him. You get the point? Obedience. The transformation is so great and you apply it to every. If you're a son, you apply it to your parenting. If you're a parent, you apply it to the way you bring up your children. If you're a worker, you apply it to everything that you do. Not just in church. The beautiful thing is that when you apply Christianity properly, you get the results, you get the returns. If Joseph didn't have to tell the whole world that, you know, I'm a godly person. But because of his attitude that he was pleasing God with, everywhere he got, he was promoted. Yeah, he was saying, God is looking at me. Even when Potiphar's wife came, he said, how can I do this wickedness and sin against God? Meanwhile, God is not there physically. But he knows that I hold this place. That thing brought promotion. When his brothers and things came and said, oh, your father is dead, so please don't kill us. I said, no, me to kill you. You meant it for evil, but God turned it out for good. He came, you did all this. Look at what he's done. He saved all of us. And he said, not only will I not kill you, I will feed you and feed your children till you the food comes out of your mouth. That's Joseph. That's a Christian. That's a godly person. You get the point? So live your life like you are living in front of the pulpit. Whatever you will not do here, don't do out there. Always remember that. Because this is the closest you think you are to the presence of God, the altar. The altar is everywhere. The Bible says in John, 1 John chapter 5, I believe verse 3, says the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, beholding both the good, the evil and the good. Okay? Live. Spouses, be nice to your people, be nice to your spouses. As if you are married to God himself or herself. Try that. Love never fails. Be nice to your bosses in a godly way. Be sincere. Live the Bible in every aspect. Financially. Attitude, the way we talk. That's the way to benefit from Christianity. And everybody that has done that, you will become proof of what is that. That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, be not conformed to the world. Don't do it the world way, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will become proof of what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And it is true. Real Christianity, I can assure you, things will work out. Like the Bible says, and I know that all things will work together for good to those who love God and so much that they are called according to his purpose. Whatever the Lord wants to do, you want to do it too. You want to do it exactly the way to work out. Jobs, apply the principles and see the difference, okay? So what am I saying? So Jesus says, the friends, I made you friends, and he gave us a command. He said, my friends are those who obey the command. And he said, then that's John chapter 5 verse 14. And he said, I've not called you servants. I didn't bring in servants. I was not trying to make servants out of you. Zach, I tell you, I don't work here. They tell us who is a servant. No, I'm making friends. A friend wants to be his friend to be happy. I've called you as friends. Yeah, because I've revealed everything. Then he goes on in verse 16 to say, meanwhile, remember this, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Tell somebody I'm a chosen one. Tell somebody I was handpicked to be here. Yeah. I mean, Spencer, Jesus looked at you and said, Spencer, remember this. You never chose me. In your own way, you never have chosen Jesus. You didn't like Jesus. You like girls. Yeah. You didn't like Jesus, Michael. You liked drugs. True or false? Yeah, me. I didn't choose this. I like pimping. That was what I liked. Doctor, it's true. Doc, you didn't like Jesus, oh. I won't tell you, because you understand. I won't tell you what you like. It's not, fine protocol prevents me from saying it. Your son may use it against you. No. So you didn't choose. It looks like you chose. But he chose you. And he wants you to give another person a chance to be chosen. He chose you. And when he chose you, he ordained you. He gave you the power of backing. That you should go. Go out there. Don't stay in the church. Go. Go and bring forth fruits. And fruit that should remain. Not just, they said we should do it. So that's a servant. I don't work here. Let me just do just enough. It's 5 o'clock. Let me just clock out. I hate people that work that way. Not the hate is a strong word, but it's not Christianity. The Bible says a Christian, when they tell you go 1 mile, go 2. And see whether you will not be promoted. That's why you expect me to preach for 30 minutes. Sometimes I give you bonus. And you are looking at your time. Said that you should go and bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain. And he said, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Eh? He'll give it to you. Verse 16, rather, be spiritual. Amen. He may give it to you. So, brothers and sisters, if you really believe, I am a friend of God is real, you are not just singing, I'll just go to church here. I just work here. That's a servant's heart. That's not a son's heart. That's not a friend's heart. A friend loves at all times. A friend is not about the money, about the time, about, let me do the barest minimum. What will make you happy? Yeah. What I'll do. A friend is what he has made us. Be a friend of Jesus. He said this whole basis is for friends that he chose. Lorraine, next week, show your friendliness to Jesus. Gabby, you can't walk in here alone like that with your nice face. You tried. You're going to do better. You're going to not get only A plus for effort. You're going to A plus for results. Clap for the Lord Jesus. And the truth is that many are like Gabby. You tried. You tried. Oh, yeah. You tried. And believe me, I also tried. Can you imagine? I brought my soul. I said, whether he's telling the truth or not, I don't know. But you see, he was also asking for something. Immediately I give the thing. Then the whole thing changed. I don't know. Don't worry, you tried. Tell somebody, I tried. And I'll try again. This time though, don't try only on Saturday. Try on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you'll get results. Clap for the Lord Jesus. One day, try, okay? Try. You're going to try again. If you try and doesn't work, try again. Hallelujah. Try again. And to Amina, you're going to try. Amen. Say amen. Good girl. That's my mom. Okay. Don't say that. Don't try this at home. If he doesn't love you the way he loves me, it's not going to be good with you. Honor your mother, okay? This is why I'm honoring. I'm playing with my mother. Hallelujah. So, do you think you deserve the message today? Should I preach it anyway? I don't feel like preaching to you, but I will. I should go the extra mile. Give me water for this girl. Give me some water. Let me pour it on this girl. Now she has become the preacher. If you knew how to preach that, you should preach for them to come inside. She's there. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Well, go the extra mile. Next week, too. By the grace of God, you to go the extra mile. Who says church cannot be fun? Yeah. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your word, for your anointing in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the title for my message today is God Sent Not His Son to Condemn the World. That's the title of my message. God Sent Not His Son to Condemn the World. How many know John 3:16? What does it say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Good. Good. Keep it here. Don't change it. Don't change it. I knew you'd change it. How many know God, John 3:17? If you lift your hand and you don't know, I'll ask you. So you better not. How many know John 3:17? Okay, since you lifted your hand. Thomas, what does it say? For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Clap for yourself for 3 points out of 100. And you're clapping too. 3% and you're clapping. Because most Christians don't know John 3:17. Most Christians know John 3:16. But believe me, John 3:17 is more powerful. Yes, God sent, for God so loved the world is great that he sent his only begotten son. But most sinners feel condemned. Yeah. Do you know that most sinners don't feel they deserve pardon? They don't feel, I mean, what have I done that you would make such a sacrifice? God so loved the world that you gave his only begotten. What? I mean, I'm a sinner and you are making your son die for me. No. Most sinners don't believe that they deserve that. Who do you think? I mean, if they said somebody has murdered and is in prison, they said, well, the person needs to come out. But the only thing, there are about 60 people or 600 people. The only thing is that go and kill, let your son be killed so that they will come out. Bible says, peradventure, a good man, somebody may die for, but an evil man, no. So most sinners, they are happy about the love, but they have a stumbling, a roadblock in themselves. It's called insecurity. Yeah, called insecurity. I mean, you know, I've stolen some meat before in my mother's soup that they had been asking, I'd been quiet, you know. And then you see your mom takes a dip and is walking towards you and you think that, man, somebody has just leaked the information. And then with that, your heart is beating because you are not, you know, the one, you are the one who took the meat and takes a dive at your, towards you. You feel so guilty. You want to run until you realize that, oh, it was not coming at you after all. What I'm trying to say is that that spirit of insecurity needs to be addressed. And Jesus Christ did not mince words. He says, scarcely for a righteous man somebody would die, but yet peradventure for a good man would one even dare to. But God, verse 8, Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commended his love toward us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the reason I tell all Christians that now you are trying. When you were not trying, he died for you. Have no insecurities about the love of Christ. Because when you are not making any effort, he was able to die for you. Now that you are trying, you are trying to come to church. I mean, you are supposed to bring some souls, but you didn't. You tried. He commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Please, reorient your mind. Because many times we assess love by the way we love others. Yeah. That is, if your love is exploitation, you see everybody who is expressing love, they want to exploit me. Yeah. Anybody that tries to do, okay, yeah, you are kind to somebody because have you heard somebody when you're trying to do something, or you call, hi, how are you doing? The next is, what do you want? What do you want? Yeah, what are you up to? It's because anybody that has been nice that way has exploited them. So the next fine thing they feel is an exploitation. One church member that I called, I want to give you a ride to church. Can I come and pick you up? You won't believe the question they asked me, and I won't say it. It's so vulgar. Yeah, they just asked me point blank in a text, is that what I want? It's like they asked me, do you want a whore? I'm ready. Yeah, I'm telling you. That was the last time I just pushed a person to Pastor Richard or somebody. Yeah. Because if something like that happens to me, it would be a bad thing. If it happens to somebody like, I mean, Brad Michael or something, God forbid. It's not your problem. No, think about it. I went to pick up a church member, and the church member picked me up. What would be the next thing? The church will scatter. So quickly, I left over. I told either Brother Michael or Brother William or somebody, you carry on. I'll pray for you and I'll pour oil on you. You're anointed for such things. But no, me, I have to preach the word. Hallelujah. No, but that's the reality. But today I want to tell you, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. You are not condemned. But rather the world through him might be saved. God did not send his son to condemn the world. You know, sometimes when you see somebody who's righteous, you feel condemned. Someone who's doing the right thing, you feel condemned. Yeah. See, the prodigal son, when he was coming home, he said, I'm not even fit to be called your son. Because he knew there was a perfect son in the house. As he was coming, he told his daddy in advance, you are hugging me, I know. But look, make me as one of the hired servants, because I know your standard for sonship is not this kind that I'm behaving. I've gone to spend your money on harlots, riotous living, prostitutes. And I've wasted half of your estate. And I know, look at my big brother. Look at such a gentleman. He's worked with you. The business, I took half of the capital. But the business is still flourishing because I have a perfect son. So as he was coming, he felt a sense of insecurity. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are here and you feel insecure, you feel you're not qualified, you feel that you are not like the others, that humility is what qualifies you. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Jesus did not die for the righteous, but for sinners. And I'm going to read a story to you. Okay, are you ready for the story? John chapter 8 from verse number 3. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set the woman in the middle, a woman taken in adultery. Who shall I use? Come, my dear. Clap for her. The elders, Spencer, Brother Micah, you look like very powerful elders. Yeah. What? Come this way. They brought a woman caught in adultery. Watch this. No, they should bring her. All the, you know, prophets, Pharisees, and said, Octavia, bring her. Octavia, help. Octavia, get up and help. Yes. It's okay. Get up and help. Look at this, an elder. Who are some of the righteous elders? James, come. You look like somebody who's a priest. Come. Very righteous. What happened?
She was doing it.
Doing it? The Bible says they said unto him, Master, this woman was taking an adultery in the very act. Do you know what it means in the very act? Have you heard the word that stream pants down? He was caught pants down. It's an expression, but this one is literal. Pants down. Dress up, pants down. Now, it's worse than that, but for protocol says, in the very act, midstream, now that's serious. It means there is, what they are saying is there is no doubt that she did it. You know, sometimes you are suspicious. Anybody that said, oh, you are sleeping with this man's husband, you are saying, usually it's a suspicion. Usually you don't have video evidence. But this one was not video evidence. It was for sure. I mean, in the very act. Michael, did you see it?
I saw it. I heard her.
You heard it and you are seeing and you are hearing. Octavia, is it true? You saw it too?
Yes, it is.
Wow. Spencer, I hope that this is not true. What did you see?
She was doing it.
She was doing it. James, do you agree?
Yes.
Not even one. Yes, three yeses. Wow. What do you think we should do to this woman? She's an adult. She's committing adultery. He was part of it.
Why were they so close to me that they could see that?
Why were they so close? Because they set you up.
I heard it.
That's why you went in the room.
I went.
Wow. And the man was a married man.
He was a married man.
And I hear she's the friend of that married man.
She is.
Oh. What do you think we should do to such a woman?
The law says.
Yeah, the law. What did he say?
The law says stone her.
The law says stone her. Can you bring some stones or some metal, something that can be harmed? Used a shoe or something. Bring me some shoes. Give me some of those. Yeah. Give. These are stones. Yeah. Give me some more stones. Give me some bigger stones. I want some bigger stones. Yeah. Bigger stones. Yeah. Head. God, he's on the ground, not on the floor. Now, you have thrown her so much, she's now on the floor. You know? Now, Jesus comes, and the Bible says, now, the people said, so they said to him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that we should stone such a person. But they said, but Master, what do you say? Master, what do you say? Jesus, what do you say? Now watch this. Then Jesus, Press Harris, you come, you are Jesus, come. Then started writing on the ground. Bible says, this they said, go, tempting Jesus that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger and wrote on the ground. Kept writing. As if he hasn't seen. As though he didn't hear them. So when they continued asking him, why are you still writing? Master, what should we do? Charlie, attacking. He's like, why? Why? The girl was in the very act. Pressurize, Master. Pressurize Jesus. Look, you are about to hit. Take your stones. Take your stones. Carry your stones. You are ready. Ready. Take everyone, take your stone. Get your stone. You are ready. You are ready. Now, watch this. Master, what should we do? Master, what should we do? Then watch this. Watch this. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said to them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. Now watch this. Jesus, get up and tell them. Okay. Come, tell them.
Anyone who is without sin, cast the stone first.
Now, watch this. Then, and they which heard it, and then he stooped down again. The master went down again, as if he was writing on the ground. And they which heard it being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning from the eldest, even to the last, and they dropped their stone. Then they left one by one. The first one is going. Even this one, he doesn't know how to leave. No, don't be there. He doesn't know how to leave. Yeah. You see? Oh, no, no. Be there. Okay. You can't. Okay. Watch this. And Bible says, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone. And the woman standing in the midst. Get up, my dear. Yeah. Now watch this. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said to the woman, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Has no man condemned you?" The woman said, "No, no man, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Clap for the Lord Jesus. Jesus, thank you. This is the Jesus that we preach. Rashad, please put your phone away, okay? This is the Jesus that we preach. This is the example that we must have about forgiveness. Jesus did not condone the sin. She just did not condemn her. How do I know Jesus did not condone? Because she said, "Go and sin no more." People misuse this and say, "Don't judge me. Don't judge me does not make things right." But what I want you to know is that Jesus, the first thing is, Jesus, God sees our bare, naked, and ugly sins, and yet he loves us. Yet he loves us. He sees our bare sins, yet he... When you say you have no sin, you make God a liar. Today, I want you to know. Did you know how many have taken a shower at least this week? Everybody. Did you shower with your clothes on? God saw you when you were naked. Something I'm going to tell you, you'll be surprised. I get more revelations in the shower than anywhere else. When you are naked as you came. God sees you naked. He sees, the Bible says in 1 John 5 verse 3, the eyes of the Lord is everywhere. He sees the good and the evil. Okay. Now, is that correct? No. I mean Proverbs 15, 3. Is that correct? Yeah, Proverbs 15, 3. The eyes of the Lord everywhere, beholding the good and the evil. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. It says that if you say you have no sin, you deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. How many have never sinned before? You have no sin. But look at you. Look at Auntie Wamina in front row. She's been sinning for almost 90 years. And look at the younger version. Sinning for almost 30 years. And look at the pastor. 35 years by the grace of God. Thank you, my dear. That's my second age. My first one is 17 and a bit. But here am I. I am able to stand here and preach. It's by the mercies of God. Clap for the Lord Jesus. It's by the mercies of God. It's by the mercies of God. It's by the mercies of God. That is the kind of woman that Jesus was hoping that he would have brought so that they can understand that I didn't come to condemn them. The guy that I brought was high. Had a cigarette here. Oh yeah, a lighter in hand. Ready to fire. But, does that disqualify them? If you say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 9. Verse 9 says, if we say, we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Next verse. And he goes on to say, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. So anybody who says I have no sin, you are saying Jesus Christ is a liar or God is a liar. And the word is not in us. And it's not about the sin that we've sinned. It's about the truth of God. That he is not for the perfect. God is not looking for the perfect. He's looking for the sincere. It's out of sincerity that I can preach, not out of perfection. That is why when you point fingers at me, God says, I rather should condemn. Did you know in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17, the Bible says that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you must condemn that you're wrong. No, your judgment, you're wrong. Why? It says this is the heritage of the servants of God. If you serve God, this is your legacy. Why? Because their righteousness is of God. My righteousness is of God. So if I preach and I didn't preach well and you're condemning me, no problem. What makes me right is not your standard. It's from God. I'm trying. Like you said, you tried. It's not for me to condemn you. You tried. I'm hoping that next week you won't come and say, I tried again, but I did it. I did it. Do you get the point? But that's the point that I want you to. Now, we don't take this thing for granted. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4 is a scripture I will never forget. Give us the New Living Translation. It says, do you despise, Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. It said, do you despise, don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does that mean nothing to you? You know, when you go and you are praying and you feel, oh, because of your sin, God is not answering prayer. No. You haven't understood. Do something about it. But don't label God wicked. He said, see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, patient God is with you. Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you around from your sin? Clap for the Lord Jesus. It's not a condoning. It's an effort to make you see that it's not about, I'm not coming after your sin, I'm coming after you. It's you I want, not your sin. I'll say it again. Jesus knows about your sins, your frailties, your weakness. Knew about not only Jesus, but they found in the very act, not in the act, in the very act, it was hot. I mean, when they say the act is bad enough, but in the very act, I don't want to be graphic, but that's very serious. So Jesus was not going after the sin because he had the solution for sin. Jesus is the solution for our sin. The blood of Jesus Christ. It's like a doctor who is coming. I am not afraid of polyps because I take them out all the time. So when I come to you and I said, I want you to have a colonoscopy, I'm not against you. You're going to give me that nasty fluid to drink, to wash me out. Do you know how many times I'm going to poo-poo? Oh, my backside is going to become raw. Now it's going to be painful. You are such a wicked guy. No. I know that colon cancer kills. I am coming because I love you. I care. I have the solution. So it's not the bleeding that is a problem. So I put that as Jesus knows. He's the solution for our sin. He's a solution. If it wasn't for Jesus, you wouldn't have this kind of pastor preaching such a nice message to you. He has managed to look beyond. You've not pimped before, but I have. Do you know what pimping is? Yeah. All these pornographic things that these days you watch, you think you're doing something? It's nothing. It's low level. Our time, it was not screens. It was life. I lived in a nightclub. In the very act. I have been under the bed when a woman that I brought to the man was in the very act. These hands that lay hands and pray for you When I was an unbeliever, I had seen things. I've been sent with things, drugs, all kinds of things. But the blood is so powerful. The blood is so powerful. God did not send his son into the world to condemn me, but the Lord, that God through the world, through Jesus, might be saved. That's what salvation has done to me. That today I can preach the gospel. Today I can help. That's your next stage. Use the love of God to now enter into a better version of yourself. He's coming after you. He wants a better version of you. The sin problem is what we have. God's conflict is that he's a righteous judge. He has to punish. He's so righteous, he has no choice but to. That's the reason why God has to stand away from Jesus when he took away our sin. He had to abandon him because he's holy. He cannot touch sin. So he had to abandon his own son who was carrying the sins of this world. The same way he has to turn away from our sins. But he had to do that because he's a righteous judge. He has to punish sin and reward righteousness. So he exchanged the blood for us. Bible says he was made sin for us who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Clap again for the Lord Jesus. So this woman was let go. Do you know that this woman, many people say he's the same woman who came one day with the alabaster box of ointment. Precious appreciation. There's the kindness of God not being anything to you. That's why we serve God. That's why, because of what he has done for us, I can see a better version of my life, a better version of your life. I can see all of us sitting here. Many of you have known you for years, 35 years. But look at you. Jesus came to make you better. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Jesus came to make you better. He saves you. There was a man who went and found his wife in the very act. He called the police. He threw away his wife. He took pictures and just disgraced the wife. You'll be surprised. Real story. Make sure all the pastors of that woman knew, all the relatives knew, with pictures, nude pictures. That was the last time. I don't want anything to do with this woman. That's a dirty woman. She was not brought up well. I can't live with such dirt. She disgraced that woman so much. That's why when I hear about people like Joseph, the mother, the Mary's husband, before Jesus, the Holy Spirit got put a seed in Mary, his behavior is so beautiful. Bible says even when he wanted to put her away, he wanted to do it privately. That's how we should live. People are not, you know, kindness makes people shine. Love makes people shine. Bible says, do you despise the kindness of God? Don't you know that his kindness is supposed to make us shine? Don't you know? Look at the woman who was caught in adultery. She was the one who brought the alabaster. And I believe the same Mary who sat at Jesus' feet in Luke 10. The same Mary that Jesus appeared to when he resurrected. Have something nice about people's future. If I condemn my son, this my son who is now a pastor would never have been left with anything. Yeah. Most people are struggling to do well. They just need a little encouragement, a little help. A little help, it's going to be okay. I believe in your future. You tried, it didn't work, try again. Maybe that's why today God made you fail. So they can see that you're forgiven. You can try again. Clap for the Lord Jesus. You can try again. Next week, you can try again. Yeah, you can try again. Do you know that most people who divorce, if a man is divorced, the woman who comes again usually enjoys a good marriage? It's because the first woman did not give that man a chance to come out of their mistakes. Or after misbehavior, you know, the men are best as they grow. Yeah. What is it called? Huh? Majority of the time, whatever. Women too. Whatever I'm telling you, look, my wife now is far better than when she was young. Oh, any day. I wish I had married her old. Because the version I have now is far more refined than when she was young. She was like you. She had issues. Issues. I don't say you have issues. I said she was like you, as in youthfulness, beauty, but issues. But now, she's like an angel. Oh, yeah. God has worked on her beautifully. Please, when God takes the blood, does not condemn you. What is left, that kindness, what it does to people. That is what. Why church, God doesn't take us to heaven straight away when you get born again. Because he works on us. He has work to do on us. He gives us opportunities. Upon whoever believed Brother Michael can become a pastor or shepherd. This Michael. Trading in what? Scriptures now. I don't want to tell you what he traded in. I don't know who has offended you, but become like Jesus. The next thing is that God could have condemned us when he saw our bare sin and ugly sin, like the man who condemned the wife. Then the next thing, Jesus did not condemn us when he saw our ugly sins. There was another man who had a wife who did the same thing. Actually, I didn't do the same thing, but went to a place and was told that the woman was doing prostitution over there. That man had gone to prison. The woman was doing prostitution to take care of. Went and saw that it was true. The woman denied it, but once went and saw. Sat the woman down. Oh, sorry, wait. Sat, I'm talking about her, you don't look like. Sat the woman down. Said, my darling, how could you do such a thing? How could you? And the woman said, since you left, I was lonely. I tried once. And I felt I should go again. This. Said, I've been around for a long time. Why are you still going? Because while it was I said, go. But I gotten used to it. She told the woman, I still love you. I would never stop loving you. You are still the person that I know. Just do me this favor. I will love you the best way that I can. Just promise me that if you need anything, you ask me, I'll provide it for you. Don't go there anymore. He says, I won't go. But I love you. And he told the woman, don't tell anybody about our secret. It's between you and I. I came to see you here. No pictures, no memories. I'm wiping away the memories. Wipe it from your mind. Stop crying. And don't pretend like nothing happened. Took the wife home and lived happily ever after. Clap for the Lord Jesus. We must be grateful to God. We must be grateful. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we will have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We must decide. Somebody says, come as you are, but don't stay as you are. Come as you are, but never stay as you are. Jesus Christ said, remember the scripture in Romans chapter 2 verse 14, Romans chapter 2 verse 4. If you don't listen to remember anything, John 3:17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And then this one, the New Living Translation, said, do you despise, New Living Translation, he says, don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that this kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? So the woman never went to place again because she saw the kindness. Today I want to tell you, that shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. David was caught with Bathsheba, somebody's wife, under a shower. A woman in shower or on the beach is a different animal. And David, the king, saw the woman showering. Nice hot afternoon. In a hot tub. And brought the hot lady. That was impregnated her. And when he saw that the woman was pregnant, say, hey, bring the husband from the war front. And send the man there to sit with the wife. So that when the pregnancy shows, they say, oh, but you came around. The man said, I can't do this when the war is going on. So I'll be a thank you for inviting me, but I'm never going to be with my wife. The man refused to be with the wife. So David had no choice. Now his sins were going to be obvious. He sent the man with a note to his army general Joab, the captain. He said, put this man there where the war is hottest. And when the war becomes hot, withdraw from him and let him be killed. That was David. He sinned. And he told the Lord, it's me, forgive me. The Bible still calls him a man after God's heart. God still likes David. He said, David is a man after my heart. He loved him. He loved him. I want to assure you that David, if he loved God and God loved him, God can love you. I don't know what you have done, but I don't think that you have impregnated somebody's wife. You have killed the husband. I mean, I don't know you, but maybe you have. And I don't know how many you have done. But whatever it is, if God can tell a murderer that you are a man after my heart, I will even make you king. And I'll sustain you. And he said, there's something called the sure mercies of David. Bring it up. Something called the sure mercies of David. This is a murderer. He said, not only will I show you mercy, your children, I will also show mercy. Because David had what we call a contrite heart. A heart that was broken. When they told him, unlike Saul was arguing. But David said, no, it's me. I know I'm a sinner. Father, forgive me. Bible says God loved him so much. And as you're going home, I want you to know that God is not looking for even the acknowledging of your sin to condemn you. He's just looking for the fact that you acknowledge, confess your sins like David, so that he can love you even more, make you a king, promote you like David, and trust you that you know that what you did is wrong, but so long as you brought it under my covering. Ladies and gentlemen, sin should not kill us. We should kill sin. And sin is best killed when we present to Jesus through confession. Many times it happens. Kill sin before sin kills you. Look at David's way of speaking. In the book of Psalm, chapter 51, David wrote a beautiful psalm expressing his misbehavior. It's so beautiful that I love reading it. He said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness and according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Watch this, verse 2. And he said, verse 2, please, verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Keep going. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. I don't deny it. Just like I can tell you I was a pimp and all that. For I acknowledge. Then the next verse, verse 4. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be. In other words, God, you are right, whatever you say, when you speak, and be clear when you judge. Then verse 5, he said, behold, I was shaped in sin. In sin was my mother. My mother conceived me. You know how I am. You know my weakness. Somebody said, young girls are my weakness. Mercy. No, I don't say repeat it. Somebody said it. Don't confess it. Doctor, I don't know. We are lecturing them to say. He said, behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother. Young girls are your weakness. But Mike, I didn't know that. Young girls, watch out, please. And in sin did my mother conceive me. Verse 6. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, Brother Michael, you should get out of this place. Brother Spencer. Behold, thou desire truth in your inward part. And in the hidden part, you desire truth. Purge me. Purge me with hyssop. Please, today I want you to have this prayer. Be your prayer. It is a lover's prayer. It's a lover's prayer. Who wants to just be clean with God? Anytime you fall in sin, go to this psalm and preach, pray to God. Say, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Not white like snow, whiter than snow. The blood washes you whiter than snow. Then, so that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Sometimes your own guilty feelings break your bones. Then, verse 9, it says, hide not your face, hide your face from my sins and blot out my transgressions. Verse 10, you are reading. Create in me, this is what I want you to know, that you can become greater than you were even before the sin came. After David said these things, he said, no, Lord, not only am I asking you to forgive me, promote me. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew the anointing, the right spirit within me. Then verse 11, he said, cast me not away from your presence. Listen, never stay out of God's presence. Those of us who, when we do one thing, then we don't pray, we fast prayer. There are people that they are going on fasting. They are fasting prayer. You know what you fast prayer? Not fasting and prayer. You, when you fast food, you don't eat food for a while. These people, they fast prayer. Some people, they are so self-righteous. When they steal one thing, like I stole my mother's meat, I can't pray anymore. Lord, I can't come to you anymore. For another 14 days, they can't talk to God. You are setting yourself up for the devil. You need God the more when you fall in sin. Yeah. The prodigal son is one of my favorite people in the Bible. Many people are too proud. That thing that I've seen, I can't come to God, is pride, self-righteousness. You are not like the prodigal son. But the father hugged him, kissed him, put a ring on the finger, and restored him. He even defended him before the righteous firstborn and said, you don't know what we are talking about. This, your brother was lost, but he's found. It means I've taken him back. Stop your self-righteous nonsense and let's receive him. And he had a party. I pray that God will have a party for you. And you say to them, cast me not away from your presence. Rather, when you fall in sin, pray the more. The devil is afraid of that. And take not your Holy Spirit from me. Then finally, verse 12, restore unto me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your free spirit. I like what he said, then make me a teacher. What's that? Look at the next thing. So that rather I will teach transgressors your ways. A sinner to teach transgressors. The cat has been put in charge of the fish. And I was telling the mice, don't come here. There's fish here. The thief has become the policeman. That's your pastor. That should be you. Your sins shouldn't disqualify you. Rather, be like David to be promoted. The sinner has now used his sin to teach others. Some of us have testimonies to be able to help somebody. You can do well. It can be well with you. It can be well. When somebody is down, he needs the anointing for. Don't shoot the wounded. Sin is sin. But restoration. The Bible says anybody who is spiritual, if anyone is overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. Knowing that of you can also become a castaway. And that I will convert sinners today. Father, we pray that that will be our portion. I don't know what is hiding in your heart. Hiding in your wardrobe, hiding in the back of your thoughts. I don't know what sins you have remembered, but it is the devil that brings sins to the forefront. Jesus, he washes away the sins. He didn't come to condemn you. You hear the spirit of condemnation, it's not from Jesus, it is from the devil. The Holy Spirit convicts, not condemn. He says he will convict us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. It's a conviction. I know, like David was convicted, I know this is wrong. But if it's condemning you, such that I can't pray to God anymore, it's not of the devil. Which mother throws the baby and the poop or flushes them into the water closet? Which real mother? God is not like that. I don't know what is smelling around you, but God has a fragrance called the blood, and he wants you back. The sin in you is not as great as the son in you. God wants the son, so he deals away with the sin. S-O-N-S-I-N. One letter, but it makes all the difference. May you do away with the sin so that God can have his son back. If you're a woman, a daughter back. Put your hands together, rise to your feet.
Wow, weren't you blessed by that anointed word of God? Come join our services this and every Sunday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time in person at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive, Memphis, Tennessee. Be blessed.